the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamun alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special on an auspicious day. Congratulations. Today we have a birthday. Congratulate to all Muslim brothers and sisters, especially Shia Muslim brothers and sisters, on the birthday anniversary of Shia's second Imam, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him. Happy Eid!
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور
والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا.
عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah Allah, thank you for this day.
Today Thursday is the 15th of Ramadan, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Farvardin, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of April, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Shia Muslim brothers and sisters, congratulations!
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, leader of youth in the heaven. Imam Hassan, the leader of youth in the heaven, was born in the holy city of Medina on 15th of Ramadan in 3rd year after Hijra. He was one of the two persons in whom the progeny of the Prophet Muhammad was limited. He was one of the four persons through whom the Holy Prophet of Islam made the contest of prayer or mubahila with the Christians of Najran. He was one of the five persons whom the Holy Prophet of Islam covered with his cloak. He was one of the 12 imams whose obedience Allah made incumbent on people. He was among those who were purified from sins, as the Quran says. He was among those whose love Allah made reward for the divine mission of Islam. He was among those who the apostle of Allah made one of the two valuable things, thaghlain. Thus, whoever cleaves to them does not go astray. The Holy Prophet of Islam loved him and asked Allah to love those who love him. Congratulations, dear brothers and sisters, on the birthday anniversary of Shia's second Imam, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we shall look at Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba's life and the moral characteristics of this noble and great entity. Among the key character qualities of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam are those of patience and forbearance. We said the whole month of Ramadan is the month of patience. And Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba is known as the Imam of Patience. And it's beautiful that he has been born in the midst of this holy month. So I think it's good to find this connection that the example of patience has been born in the month of patience. According to the history books, once someone asked Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam the meaning of forbearance, the Imam responded with the following words: forbearance is the stifling of wrath and control over oneself in a way where a reaction is not shown. In another well-known tradition, it has been narrated that one day a man from Syria saw Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam as he was walking in the streets of Medina. When he saw the Imam, he began to insult and slander him. The man continued to insult the Imam, but the Imam did not say anything to him. When the man has finished with his insults, the Imam faced him, greeted him with an Islamic greeting of the salam, and smiled at him. He then said to the man, "O respected man, I imagine that you are a stranger here. If you're hungry, we will feed you. And if you lack proper clothing, then we will clothe you. Whatever you need, I'll give to you." When the man from Syria heard these words, he began to cry and his attitude changed completely. He said to Imam Hasan al-Mustafa alayhi salam, "I testify that you are the vicegerent of Allah on the earth. Allah knows best in what lineage to place the prophethood and the imamate." The man then became the Imam's guest until the time that he departed from Medina. And he ended up becoming one of the steadfast followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This story shows us how the Imam transformed an individual who hated him into one of his steadfast followers through the power of his forbearance. Truly, this was one of the exemplary characteristics of Imam Hasan alayhi salam.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
Meet Imam Hasan. "That is Hasan, son of Ali," they told me. My heart became filled with hatred. I envied Ali for having a son like that. I hid it toward him and said, "Are you the son of Ali?" He responded, "I am his son," and then started to curse him and his father. These were the words of a traveler to the city of the Prophet, Medina, upon seeing the saintly, handsome, and well-dressed Imam Hasan. Propaganda and blatant lies in the traveler's country of origin had led him to view Imam Ali and his family in a terribly negative light. The traveler continued, "When I finished, he asked me, 'It seems you are a stranger here.' I replied, 'Yes.' Then he said, 'Come on over to our place. If you need a house, we will host you, or money, we will give it to you, or if you have another need, we will assist you.'" After hearing this, there was no one on the face of the earth more beloved to me than him. Every time I think back to what he did and what I did, I'm grateful to him and feel embraced about how I acted. The traveler's encounter with Imam Hasan gives us a snapshot on this Imam's forbearance. Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special, and we'll learn more about the second Imam. Imam Hasan was the older son of Imam Ali and Lady Fatima Zahra, the younger son being Imam Hasan, while Imam Hasan was only a boy of about 7 years when Prophet Muhammad passed away. The Messenger of Allah had made a point to recognize Imam Hasan with distinction. Imam Hasan lived with his father for about 30 years after the Prophet's passing. During Imam Ali's political leadership, Imam Hasan supported the establishment of justice with sacrifice and relentless effort. Before Imam Ali was martyred, he said, "My son, the Messenger of Allah, had commanded me to have you carry out my will as successor and turn my books and weapon over to you, just as he had me carry out his will and as successor and turn his books and weapon over to me."
In the Battle of Siffin, there was a straight and narrow opening for the army of the commander of the faithful to be able to defeat the army of Muawiyah, they had to get through this narrow strait. But they couldn't because there were snipers stationed at that strait, trained archers whose job was to intercept anyone who dared draw near them. Amir al-Mu'mineen needed someone who was up to the task. So he called his son Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. What do you expect he's going to do? He said to him, go. At first, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah was a bit hesitant. And he should be. Imagine you're facing 5,000 snipers. One of them is enough to kill you, not 5,000. So the Imam gave him a pep talk. He said to him, Tid fil ardi qadamak, a'irillaha jumjumatak. Plant your feet in the ground. Give your skull as a loan to God. In other words, be prepared to die. Don't go with the intention of saving yourself. Go with the intention of sacrificing yourself. وَرْمِ بِبَصَرِكَ أَقْوَى الْقَوْمِ And look at the last person, not the first person. Look as far into the horizon as you can. Make that your target. SubhanAllah, as far as military strategy goes, incredible, flawless. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah went in. He couldn't do it. As I said, 5,000 archers. He came back. He was ashamed. The Imam said to him, don't worry. It's okay. I've got someone else lined up. He sent Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Imam al-Hasan went. He did what he did, following in the footsteps of his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. All 5,000 archers cleared the path. Then came back, telling the Imam that the path is now clear. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah felt ashamed. The Imam said to him, don't worry, it's okay. Because although you're my son, Hassan is the son of Rasulullah. Hassan is the son of Fatima. Yes, you have my genes, but you lack the genes of Rasulullah. So it's okay.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, and thank you very much for joining us. Again, I congratulate on the birthday anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Salam and congratulations to you all on the blessed 15th of Ramadan, the birth anniversary of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Let us start the day by pondering on words of wisdom from this great personality. Glory is to give in loss and forgive the sin, while chivalry is to safeguard the religion, promote the personality, be lenient, sustain in doing favors, fulfill the rights, and behave amicably with people.
Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, Salamullah alayha. This hadith is about fasting and its relation to sincerity and ikhlas. As you know, right now we are in the month of Ramadan, the month of spiritual progress, and the month in which we have been given the opportunity to repent, and the doors of heaven are open. There's a lot of distinctions for the month of Ramadan. As you know, most importantly, this is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And it is the month in which the famous night of ordainment, the Laylatul Qadr, occurs. There's a lot of distinctions, again, for this month. Today in this beautiful hadith, we're going to be looking at the relation that fasting has with sincerity and ikhlas. As you know, ikhlas or sincerity is one of those very central Islamic virtues. A lot of spiritual distinctions have been mentioned for sincerity in the Quran, and the mukhlasin, the sincere ones. By way of passing, we can mention the fact that God Almighty says that the sincere ones, the mukhlasin, the ones who have been made sincere, obviously, there's a distinction here a little bit between the sincere ones and the ones who have been made sincere. Nevertheless, God Almighty says that these people are secure from the temptations of Satan. When Satan was conversing with God after his disobedience to him, he said that he threatened God and said that he would misguide all of humanity, save those who were sincere or who had been made sincere. And so these are one of the distinctions of the sincere ones. In this hadith, the Lady Fatima, Salamullah alayha, she alludes to the relation and connection between sincerity and fasting. This is also coincidentally an allusion to one of the reasons why fasting has been promulgated and has been ordained within Islamic law. She says Allah made fasting obligatory in order to reinforce sincere devotion to Him. فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الصِّيَامَ تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاسِ. Right? So if a person is sincere, right, everybody has a certain level of sincerity to God Almighty. The fast, it reinforces this sincerity of a person. It strengthens it. It intensifies it. Right? And perhaps one of the reasons why this is so is that in fasting in contrast to the other acts of worship, it's almost something negative in nature. Meaning in other acts of worship, like for example, the ritual prayer, we actually actively do something. Right? For example, we're bowing or prostrating or standing or reciting something. Whereas in a fast, it's kind of negative or non-existential, you might say, in the sense that we are not actually doing something. We are actually negatively not doing something, right? So this is a kind of it becomes harder to show off, and it makes it easier to do it sincerely for the sake of God. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at fasting and its connection to sincerity from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Brothers and sisters, we really welcome you all. Here we are with Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah, students of Sevier International School. So, brothers, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. So today, inshallah, we'll talk about two verses of Surah Ali Imran, verses numbers 51 and 52 on page 56. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to IRIB English Radio, let's all together go and listen to the recitation of these two ayatain.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allaha Rabbi wa Rabbukum fa'buduhu. هذا صراط مستقيم فلما أحس عيسى منهم الكفر قال من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون.
Great recitation. Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir,
Now you know what to do, right? I'll read, inshallah, and recite. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters will also, inshallah, as they are listening, they will practice with us. All right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه
إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ
هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ
هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ
فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ
فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ
قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله
قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله
نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون
نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله Almighty bless you inshallah إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه Prophet Isa عليه السلام says here that indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord فاعبدوه so worship him هذا صراط مستقيم this is a straight path or the right path. Siratum Mustaqim refers to the path of Allah Almighty, okay? The path of guidance. So, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim that we have in Surah Al-Fatiha, right?
Yes.
Okay. In the next ayah, actually Prophet Musa alayhi salam had told the children of Israel that Prophet Isa alayhi salam is gonna come, like he's gonna bring you the book, and he's gonna guide you. He's the prophet after me. Like, okay, so he had already given him and the people the news of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So, and when the people of Bani Israel or the children of Israel, okay, when most of the majority of them, okay, they saw that when Prophet Isa alayhi salam came to them, and for example, he was not like talking about or caring about the some of the illegal interests of the people. Like the people, okay, they always look for their interests, for their benefits, okay? So when the people did not see Prophet Isa for their interest, okay, yeah, for their benefit, so they did not accept the words of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. They refused them, they rejected. Okay, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. When Prophet Isa alayhi salam sensed this, understood that, oh, these people are rejecting the words of Allah, فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ And when Jesus alayhi salam sensed their faithlessness, okay, that they were not believers, he said, Prophet Isa alayhi salam said, مَنْ أَنصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ O people, who will be my helpers towards Allah Almighty? okay? Some people, like 12 people, okay? 12 people from those people, okay? قال الحواريون, the disciples, okay? The disciples, the very close people who were really in contact with Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who were helpers, who were always with him, like as his students. Disciples means students. Like, they were his students, okay? They said, قال الحواريون, huh? نحن أنصار الله. Okay? We are the helpers. We'll be the helpers of Allah. آمنا بالله. We have faith in Allah. And O Prophet, washhad, you testify, you confirm, okay? You bear witness that بأننا مسلمون, that we are Muslims. Muslims, like, we don't say following the religion of Islam. No, Muslims totally. And generally, okay, it means we have submitted to Allah Almighty, okay? We believe in Allah Almighty.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So let's move on to the tajweed rules, important tajweed rules, inshallah I'll mention, okay? So you're on the right path, be sure, okay? Okay? You're on the right path. وَشِيَعَتُكَ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ فِي النُّورِ مُبْيَضَّةً وُجُوهُمْ وَحَوْلِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Okay, in Dua Nudba we have this. So guys, the very important tajweed rules, inshallah, I'll mention. Inna Allaha Rabbi. And one thing I have to tell you, you have to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more explanation, okay, about the history of this adventure, about these things, inshallah, you can refer. Inna Allaha Rabbi wa Rabbukum, right? Fa'buduhu. هذا صراط مستقيم إن نون مشدد علي ناصر
إدغام مستعي
إدغام غن sound also yeah. Nasal sound إن
stretch for two counts
yeah stretch the sound for two counts and also إن when you join it with the word Allah the lam in the word Allah will be
Heavily pronounced.
Inna Allah, not Inna Allah, right?
Yes.
How Hussein?
Inna Allah.
Ahsan. Inna Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbukum. Ra, heavy sound. All right.
Yes.
Rabbi wa Rabbukum, not Rabbi wa Rabbukum. No. Fa'budu. You skip Hamzatul Wasl. Fa'budu. Qila we have, right? What does the Qila tell us? Huh?
Better to stop.
Better to stop, Hussein? Hassan? Better to stop, right?
Yes.
Fa'budu. Qila tells us. So, Qila tells us. Better to?
Stop.
Sila. And the next ayah tells us.
Better to continue.
There is a Sila sign. It says better to continue. But both. Tell us that you can stop if you want. It's okay. So, فَعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا both have light sounds. هَذَا yes? صِرَا هَذَا صِرَا إِيَا right? Not this time. صِرَا sound. صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ طَا has a تنوين plus next word starts with ميم merge them إِدْغَام صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ right?
Yes.
So فَلَمَّا ميم مُشَدَّد again when we have ميم مُشَدَّد huh? You stretch the sound yes?
Yes.
فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى right? منهم الكفرة منهم نون ساكن plus ها
إظهار
do you need to do anything No, you don't need to do anything, which is called izhar. You're doing actually the right thing. What is the right thing? The right thing is to pronounce it. Yeah, if it is noon, pronounce it. Min hum. Don't hide it. Mi hum, mi hum. Nothing else. Right, Fawad? Min humul kufra. Qala, qala. Heavy sound, right?
Yes.
Man ansari. Two rules are applied here. Actually, one rule, because again, man an, man a, noon second plus hamza, it's ilhar, nothing. I think it's changed, yes? Man ansari. As if you don't know tajweed. Man ansari, right? Noon second plus sad, like ikhfa, but heavy letter, yes? Ansari. Ila Allah. إلى الله again lam is pronounced heavily. قال الحواريون تشديد أن ياب. Pay attention. نحن more throaty sound. أنصار الله وآمنا نون مشدد بالله lam here with a light sound. Yes, because there is a
كسرة
sound before بالله, right? واشهد واشهد قلقلة bounce the sound بأننا مسلمون. That's all, right? So alhamdulillah, we mentioned the very very important tajweed rules. So brothers and sisters, and also Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, please pay attention inshallah. Thank you so much. If you have any questions.
Yes.
No.
What's your question?
How do you detect mad ares le sukun?
Oh, I didn't mention. Oh, Fawad says that there is a mad arid lissukun at the end. Muslimun. When you stop there, yeah, you gotta stretch it a bit. Yeah. Thank you, Fawad. So, guys, thank you so much. That was his question. Nice question. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, we'll be here with you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Mohsen. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Mustafa, assalamu
alaikum. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Yusuf ibn Ahmad Bahrani, mainly known as Muhaqqiq Bahrani or Muhaddis Bahrani, the author of Al-Hadaiq al-Nadhira, or he's mainly known as Sahib Hadaiq. Before getting to Al-Hadaiq al-Nadhira and also can say his main research method in this book, let's be more familiar with the early life of Yusuf Bahrani. Brother Mustafa, let's start with you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Yusuf ibn Ahmad Bahrani is a great scholar, a great Shia scholar of the 12th century. He was born in Bahrain. He spent his childhood in Bahrain, but after a while he was forced to travel to Qatif, and he spent some time there in Saudi Arabia. But you know, his time was a chaotic time for Bahrain. There was a fighting between Iran and Oman over this country, so couldn't stay in his country for long. So he was he traveled to Iran and settled in Shiraz. After a while, he left Shiraz for Fasa and stayed for a while there. And but the late years of his life, he traveled to Iraq and settled in Karbala.
Yes.
What is his early childhood, his early studies was under the guardianship of his grandfather and also his father. But then after that, he studied in the seminaries of Fasa in Shiraz and then in Karbala.
Okay.
What is very great about this scholar is that he was a prolific author.
Yes.
He has many books in Hadith, Kalam, Fiqh, especially Al-Hadaiq al-Nadhira, his famous book in Fiqh. And he was living in Karbala at the time of Muhaqqiq Behbahani, which is a great encounter, which we will come to.
Yes, yes. That's right. The main approaches, I mean, were different. Bahrani approaches and Behbahani approaches, we can say, to especially the Hadith case, were really the different. And where does Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, this disagreement come from? I mean, this encounter between Bahrani and Behbahani. And talk a little bit about main approaches of these two scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the Shia school of thought, we see some ulama, they were Akhbari.
Yes.
And some are known as Usudi.
Usudi.
Most of the ulama at this time are known as Usudi.
Okay.
The difference is that when there is a juristic issue or there is a ruling about the fiqh or Islamic ruling, a mujtahid or jurist, he first tries to find the answer from the Quran.
Okay.
Then from the hadith. After the hadith, if we don't find anything from these two, then we move towards the usul, the principles of jurisprudence, where we have a couple of rules. For example, we have istishab. Istishab means that, for example, in the morning, I did wudu, and after that, I don't remember now in the afternoon whether this wudu is voided or not. Istishab says, what do you have yaqeen, trust on? I say, I believe that I did it in the morning, and I'm sure about it. It says, because I have a doubt about the voidation of this action or the wudu, therefore I still have a wudu.
Okay.
So I go back to my own yaqeen. Similarly, in morning, if I didn't have the wudu,
yes,
the other case. And now at the time of dhuhr prayer, I'm thinking that when I woke up in the morning, did I did wudu because I do normally?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure about it.
Okay.
So the rule says because you're not sure, therefore you don't have a wudu.
Okay.
So this is the rule of istishab.
Yes.
There are many things. There are other rules as well in the usul. Basically, the difference is the akhbariyin, those who are akhbari, they just follow the hadith. They say for the in order to prove an Islamic rule, the hadith of or the narration of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is enough.
Yes.
And we must prove every single juristic rule through the hadith and the Quran.
Yes.
And not the intellect. We should not take the, you know, the help of usul, like ilm al-usul, the way it is developed, and the intellect. Whereas the Usuliyin, they say that for the matters in which we do not have any hadith,
yes,
we do not have the verses of the Quran, there we need to take the help of Usul,
mm-hmm,
which is also taken from the intellect, because yes, Allah, when He gave us the intellect, we need to use it. But that is on the third place. It is after the hadith and after.
And fiqh istidlali comes from this field. I mean, the field which is reasoning, okay?
Reasoning.
But akhbar here means what? I mean, exactly.
Akhbar is the news from the Ahlul Bayt.
Uh-huh, okay.
The narrations
which
of the Ahlul Bayt.
Which are mainly ahadith and narrations.
Yes,
okay.
Ahadith.
Yes.
The akhbariyin, they believe that for every single issue, we need to refer to a hadith. If mm-hmm we don't find hadith, there is no solution for that.
Okay.
Right? There is no solution for that. We have to see the hadith. Either this hadith is, you know, sahih or mursal, for example. It's okay, weak, or it's one of the strengthening or the firm hadith. So that is the difference. Now, the Yusuf bin Ahmad Bahrani, he was known as Akhbari.
Yes.
But he was a moderate Akhbari, uh-huh, who used to use some of the usuli, uh-huh, you know, things as well.
He could find a way between.
Yes, between.
Two. Okay.
Whereas Bahbahani was usuli.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is when he, you know, he passed away, Ahmad Bahrani had the will that Bahbahani will lead my
burial prayers.
Oh.
Although they were
from two different schools, we can say.
Okay.
It's two different, you know, they had two different methods. But obviously it shows us how, you know, important was Bahbahani in the eyes of Bahrani, and how, you know, great scholar was he. Because, you know, as ethical, we can see, like, there are two different methods,
yes,
amongst the ulama, but obviously they were not the enemies of each other.
Yes.
But they were following two different ways.
Okay.
And this is a lesson for every one of us,
mm-hmm,
that if we have different methodologies,
yes,
it does not mean that we become enemies,
yes,
or we cannot see each other.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we can see this in today's world, that the scholars, whether it's Shia, between Shia and Sunni, for mm-hmm example, or between Sunnis or between Shias, we have these issues that if we see someone is not following the method which I follow, then he's definitely an okay enemy of me.
The respect that they had for each other, as you said in his last will and testament, that his burial prayer is done by Bepaani. These are all lessons, you know, akhlaqi lessons for us to take from.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah.
Okay, anything missed, Brother Mustafa, regarding these two approaches? I mean, akhbari and usuli one?
I just want to go further, I mean, explain further about what it said, that he was a moderate mm-hmm akhbari, means that he constantly would say to the people that, first of all, we should not categorize ulama and scholars into these two categories.
Okay.
We do not say that these people, they are akhbaris, and these people, mm-hmm, they are usulis. So that is one. And the second is that none of these two groups are allowed to and are permitted to insult each other or
yes
to denounce each other, renounce each other, and so on. And in one other occasion that we will come in the life of Maqir Behbahani, said that even when Maqir Behbahani went to him and asked, went to his class and asked to lead this class, he allowed him, although they were from two different school of thought. One
really?
Of them was an akhbari and one of them was a usuli, but he permitted Maqir Behbahani to lead the class, to be the teacher of that class,
uh-huh,
and through which Maqir Behbahani succeeded to change the viewpoints and opinion of some of the students of those classes.
That's all right. Again, Yusuf Bahrani is mainly known as Sahib Hadaiq. We know Sahib means the author. Or the owner of a book, for example, or the, I suppose, say the writer or the author. What is Al-Hadaiq al-Nadhara, Sayyid Muhsin Nawawi?
Well, Al-Hadaiq al-Nadira fi Ahkam al-Itrat al-Tahira is the juristic book which is written in Arabic language by Ahmed Bahrani. And since it's a juristic book or fiqhi book, it starts with the chapter of Tahara, purification.
Yes.
And it does not cover all the chapters of fiqh that we have in today's world now in the books that we see. But it ends with the discussion of divorce, which is known as dhihar.
Yes.
This is one of the
types of divorce. Okay.
Divorcing.
Yes.
So basically, this book is the juristic book. On the other hand, what we see is the main way or the methodology which was used by Ahmed Bahrani was he used to bring the hadith first about an issue or a ruling, and after that he used to bring the proofs or discussion about that hadith. What does this hadith proves? For example, about the water, if the pure water should be used. So he used to bring the hadith first, and after that he started the discussion that what does it mean, why Imam has said so, and so on, the proofs that he could bring in the thing. So that's why in his book we can see, like in the initial chapters, we see a lot of hadiths that are being narrated for a specific issue or the ruling and the discussions and the proofs. Whereas at the end of the book, we can see like less things has brought. Maybe it is because like in the initial, when he started to write every single hadith that he could find.
Mm-hmm.
And later he found like he couldn't finish the book. That's why we see like the book is not consisted of all the, you know, chapters of the fiqh. And it ends on the divorce. So this is one of the things that he has wrote. But obviously, since there is the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore we can see that this is very important. And on the other hand, we see that he tried to brought the hadith from Wasail al-Shia,
yes,
which was written by Sheikh Hore Amli.
Okay.
Sheikh Hore Amli, basically he compiled four books, we can say, the four famous books in the Wasail al-Shia. And there is no hadith that Sheikh Hore Amli has brought, and he did not mention it in his book. Therefore, we can see that it was a kind of reasoning as well was provided.
Yes.
We can say it's a istidlali book. Why?
Yes.
Because when he's bringing a hadith, a narration, and then discussion on that hadith, why it proves such ruling, this thing is considered as, this book is considered as fiqh istidlali as well.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much for a nice elaboration. At the age of 79, on the 4th of Rabiul Awwal, 1186, he passed away in the city of Karbala. According to his last will and testament, Wahid Behbahani did his burial prayer. He was buried in the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam by the foot of the Shuhada of Karbala. Over there, may Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Yusuf ibn Ahmad Bahrani, mainly known as Sahib al-Hadaiq al-Nadira. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him?